Hello, everybody. It's good to be with you tonight. I hope you can join in. We're going to start our Bible class for our children, and then we are going to do the adult class. Whenever we start, we're going to go off this new green card that we got. I hope you've been studying a little bit, and we are going to look at those lessons from there. And we're going to do a little bit of reviewing too along the way. But before we do, before we begin, we're going to sing some songs. We're going to sing first the B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone by the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, Bible. I hope you're singing along at home. Make sure you are. We got to sing together, right? All right, the next song is important for us to know that Jesus loves me. So let's sing Jesus Loves Me, that song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. All right. I hope you're joining in our singing. I'm going to make sure my volume is up so everybody can hear me. All right. Okay, the next song we're going to sing tonight is The Wise Man. Remember what the wise man did? He built his house upon the rock. Okay, let's sing. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came out, and the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. And the house on the sand went splat. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessings will come down. The blessings come down as the prayers go up. The blessings come down as the prayers go up. The blessings come down as the prayers go up. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Thank you for joining in with us tonight. We have one more song, and we're going to start our Bible class. And it is our Bible class song. Our Bible class song is this. You remember? It's, boys and girls in your Bible class, be very, 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 very quiet. Boys and girls in your Bible class, be very, 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 very quiet. For God loves you and I love you and your teacher loves you too. When you go to class, your teacher will tell you all the things that God has done for you. Boys and girls in your Bible class, be very, 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 very quiet. Boys and girls in your Bible class, be very, 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 very quiet. For God loves you and I love you and your teacher loves you too. When you go to class, your teacher will tell you all that God has done for you. Boys and girls in your Bible class, be very, 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 very quiet. Boys and girls in your Bible class, be very, very shh, very, very shh, quiet. All right, now we have our green cards. Our green cards are helping us to remember the book of John. And we need to know the book of John because it's important to learn about the gospel of Jesus. And John writes these gospels for us so that we can know about Jesus. And in there is important messages. I'm going to ask you, what is in chapter 1? I hope you know the answer. I know this is new stuff. We're just getting our minds going with this green card. So I hope you answer, Jesus is God, our creator. All right. Then last week, we also learned from Andy, the chapter 2 is water to wine. All right. And he also taught in chapter 3, do you know the answer? What's in chapter 3? Who Jesus was teaching to? That's right, Nicodemus. So chapter 1 is Jesus is God our creator. Chapter 2 is water to wine. And chapter 3 is Jesus teaches Nicodemus. All right, we're going to look at chapter 4 and chapter 5 tonight. And it's important for us to know where these are. So whenever we get older, we'll say, I wonder where we can learn about Jesus, our creator. Well, we can go to, we'll keep this in our memory and we'll remember John chapter 1. And we can go there. Or where we learn about the miracles of Jesus. Well, the first recorded miracle in Jesus is the water to wine. And we can see that and understand that. And then it'll be in our mind, okay? So the next one that we're doing is chapter 4. Chapter 4, Jesus teaches the woman at the well. Now, you may be like, well, what is a well? You know, most of us just go over to the sink and we can turn a little faucet on and water comes out. And it's a great thing. And we have it in our home and we have it there for us. But guess what? It didn't always used to be that way. So what they would do is they'd go over to the ground and they would dig a deep, deep hole as far as they go until they reached water. And that water, then they had sometimes they had a crank or something to pull up the water with a string, and then they had a bucket, and they let the rope down to the bucket, and they lifted it up and brought out the water that was way down in the ground. Okay, so whenever we see Jesus, he is talking to someone who's out at one of these wells that was dug, and he's talking to her. And now this woman was a Samaritan woman, and she was from a different country from where they lived, where Jesus was from. Jesus was from, the land of Israel, the children of Israel, and it was from Jerusalem. We know specific that he was from Galilee, but this area was up above them, and it was in Samaria. Now, the Jews did not like to go to Samaria. They didn't like those people. I shouldn't have been that way, but they didn't like those people. But Jesus goes to this woman at the well, and he teaches her. You know, it's important to know that Jesus teaches us so that we can know about God. And that's what he teaches her about. He teaches her about how to worship and teaches her that he is the Messiah. And whenever we look at this, so we're in chapter 4, we want to get it in our mind that Jesus teaches the woman at the well. And we can always look it back and say, read about that there. Now, chapter 5 is this. Jesus heals a man at the pool of Bethesda. And this is another area. This is a miracle that Jesus performed. There was a sick man. He was lame. He wasn't able to walk. And this man got to the pool somehow, and he wanted to go into the water, but he wasn't able to. But Jesus goes and heals him, and he's able to get up and walk. And he was that way for a very long time. And so Jesus heals this man, and he's able to walk. Just think if you couldn't walk. And what Jesus did, he was able to heal her, him, and he could walk. So Jesus does this at the pool. And now it's not like a swimming pool like we would think about, but it was a pool of water, like an area where there was a water, and there was they were going there to be healed. And that's what Jesus did, is he healed this man and he was able to walk. Now I want us to remember those other chapters we had from last week. Well, I want us to get on our mind this. There are four chapters in a row that talk about water. It's chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5. So we see those four chapters. This is how we're going to remember this. Jesus is God the Creator, chapter 1. Chapter 2 begins our water chapters. Remember, the water to wine. Jesus teaches Nicodemus about baptism. And there's water involved in baptism. Jesus teaches the woman at the well. And that's where we get the drinking water. And Jesus heals the man that's by this pool of water. So that's how we're going to remember that. Jesus is God, our creator. And then we have the four places of where we talk about water. And you think of the first one, it's a miracle, and that's water to wine. And the second one is baptism, and that is Jesus teaches Nicodemus. And the third one is Jesus teaches the woman at the well. And the fourth one is Jesus heals the man at Bethesda. It is so good that we learn these things and we know where to look for them in the Bible. And we're going to do our closing song, and then we'll have a prayer, and we will then go to our adult study for tonight. All right. Do you remember our song? It talks about where we came from. We're made in the image of God, and the image of God is the name of the song. So, all right, let's sing it. Do you know, little child, what is in you? Can you dream, little child, of going far? Do you know, little child, of the power you've been given? Do you know, little child, whose you are? You were made in the image of God, just a little bit below the angels. And the masterpiece of heaven's hand is a body and your soul. You were made in the image. You were made in the image. You were made in the image of God. In the image of God. Okay, before we close, we're going to have a prayer, okay? All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for these children who want to learn about you, who are striving to learn more about your word and know where to find the things in the Bible. We pray that you'd help them each and every day. You pray that they would be good children, that they would listen to their parents and listen to others and grow up to be good followers of you. Father, we pray for them, and we thank you so much for your word that we could look at and know these things about you and Jesus. We pray that you would keep us safe. And thank you so much for Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Now we're going to transition into our adult class. And as you are, as we're getting ready here, if you want to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Last time I did this live stream, we did 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we looked at certain things there. But I want us to get, before we get into this in some ways, I want us to think And I think it is important for us to self-evaluate and examine why we do certain things. It's important for us to know why we do what we do. You see, when we look at the book of Corinthians, and we see the importance of what Paul's message is going to be brought and what is what he is doing. And we need to evaluate that, and then we need to evaluate our lives and making sure this we can understand what Scripture has for us and that we can follow what God wants us to do. And when we first look and we see Paul identifies the problem that was happening at the church in Corinth, we see that there was division. We know that Paul said there should be no division among you. And yet there was division. And he heard that some were calling there were different things going on. But he said this. He said that you should have no divisions among you, that you should be unified together. And he said, some of you are calling yourselves, followers of Apollos and followers of Paul and followers of Cephas, but you should really not be divided at all. Was Christ divided? No. And so the purpose is Paul's writing is to tell them about the problem that they're going through, and that's division. He also then gets into the solution. The solution is in chapter 1 as well, and he says this, seek the wisdom of God. He talks about how the wisdom of God is greater than the wisdom of man, and how the wisdom of God will help us in our life, and how it is so much better than anything man could create. And when we look at this wisdom that is from God, we get into chapter 2. Then Paul then proves why we should seek the wisdom of God. And it's because of Jesus Christ, the crucified Christ. Paul gets to the central message of God's wisdom, and that is Jesus. And Paul's purpose for going to Corinth, the whole reason he was going there was to bring the message of Jesus Christ. And he wanted them to know about Jesus Christ. He wanted them to know about Jesus because of their sinful condition. See, they were lost. Without Jesus Christ, they have no hope for eternity. And so he points to and teaches them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we look at this, I want us to first read chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. If you would get your Bibles out, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And it says this, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech was and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." You see, Paul is getting to the main purpose of why they should seek the wisdom of God. And in doing so, he tells them how he did not bring the message of Christ to them and how he did bring the message of Christ to them. And we see in here, we see he didn't bring it with excellence of speech. And you know, and we, what does that mean? Well, maybe it's he wasn't doing it the smoothest. He's not a smooth talker, or he's not presented a soothing message that enticed the listener to follow. But I want us to understand this. The message wasn't about Paul. You see, when we look at someone who is a smooth talker, a soothing message, it makes us feel good and everything's all fine and dandy. Something may be amiss. The truth. And we have to be careful of that. And that's why we open God's word when we study God's word, so that the presenter, the messenger of bringing forth a message from God, we can see and confirm that it is from God, not any other source. We want God's message, not man's message. We want God's message. And you see, that's why we seek the wisdom of God, because the wisdom of God is much greater than the wisdom of man. So why do we go around and seek the wisdom of men? Those are questions we have to answer in our life. Now, when we talk about the speech, it is the conduct of what is said, and maybe even the manner and way it was said. He said he didn't bring it with excellent of speech and he didn't bring it with of wisdom, not of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. You see, the gospel wasn't going to match the popular philosophy of the day. The current philosophers came with excellent speech and earthly wisdom. And we know that that's man's wisdom. And that's, I think, in some ways, a play on chapter 1 when we get to the wisdom of God and the wisdom of men. But Paul brings the message of Jesus in this way. The message of the cross was brought to them. He brought them a plain and simple message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see, he brought the message that Jesus was here on this earth and that He went to the cross and died for our sins. He became our sacrifice for sins. And then He rose again, that we have hope from the grave, and we have hope in something far greater than this earth. And he brought this message, a plain and simple message, and that was a message in plain terms. And he was going to deliver it in plain terms. And he wasn't going to pander to the Greeks' desires. And that's what ended up happening, that the Greeks were excellent in speech, and they seemed to have this earthly wisdom, and they persuaded people to follow their teachings and their understanding. But Paul was coming across, and he was teaching. He said, I come to you. I didn't come to you with this excellent speech or of wisdom, and declaring the testimony of God. I want us to first understand this. Paul's not saying that we shouldn't study the Word of God and know it and strive to learn more and more about it, because that's important for us to do. But Paul was educated. We know that Paul was a Pharisee. And what do the Pharisees know? That they knew the law. They may not have followed it all the way in their heart, but they knew the law of God. And Paul studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He was educated in Greek, and we don't see it too much in English, but in the Greek, it's highlighted. It was a higher writing in Greek in some ways. And we see also he was educated in modern day philosophers of his time. And whenever he quoted some of those modern day philosophers in Acts chapter 17, I think it's 16 and 17, those, and he quoted some of those, and he used those in his preaching and teaching. So that in his writings, he used some of those so that they would understand the point of the message. And so Paul was educated. He didn't come to them in foolishness. He didn't come to them unknowing the testimony of God. He knew the testimony of God because he was a witness of the testimony of God. Now, when we look at this testimony of God, and that's what written in the New King James, there's also some translation variances. Some translations have the testimony, and others have mystery. And when those two are brought together, there's sometimes some variation on how it is translated for us in modern day English. But at the same time, it doesn't hurt anything, because each of the thoughts follow the context, and it's just for us to maybe consider a little bit. You see, Paul, one of the ways when we look at testimony and mystery, Paul could have been referring to himself when we get to the testimony of God, that he was bringing the testimony of God and the plans of God through the salvation of Jesus Christ. Just like maybe I would, as a preacher of the gospel, I am going to read and study the word of God, and I'm going to stand up and preach a message. Now, we know that Paul didn't have the books as we know as the Bible today, because that was happening and they were writing it as it was going. And when we look at that, he could have just been preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the testimony of God, the plan of God. Now, the other way, the mystery kind of may be also this, so when it's translated mystery, is Paul could be referring to the inspiration of God working through him and to produce the scripture. Now, God's message is plain and simple, and he is bringing the testimony of God, and maybe as he's writing and it's being inspired, just like we know that all scripture is inspired by God, it's breathed out by God. And Paul could be referring to that inspiration there, and when he's talking about the testimony of God. But we understand he didn't bring this testimony of God by his own earthly persuasive speech. He didn't bring it by his own earthly wisdom. He was declaring to you the testimony of God, whether it be just the plain message of God, of Jesus Christ and him crucified, or it would be the inspiration side of it. And now both of them, I believe, are correct. And sometimes we get into a little bit more details than we need to. But understand that there's probably a couple ways here that we could view this. But regardless of the interpretation of the meaning, Paul was bringing that message of God. And we know that Paul was inspired because his writings are in the Bible, in the canon. And in the first century, in the second century, they accepted that as a message from God. And when Paul wrote this, he did refer multiple times about him writing scripture and him writing and Paul, Peter writing scripture. See, this is God's work, God's message being brought out, and it's the testimony. It's the telling about what God has done. So we see Paul's message was clear. His purpose was to bring the message of Jesus Christ. When we look at this message of Jesus Christ, he was coming to them and he was determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oftentimes we get so bogged down in some areas. And what happens is we forget the simple message of Jesus, that Jesus lived on this earth. Well, first of all, he lived in heaven. He came down out of heaven. He was in eternity and came down to this earth. And he lived a sinless life. He had no sin at all. And he went to the cross to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins, reconnecting us to God, because the sin separated us that we've committed has separated us from God. And we remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden, what happened? The devil was good at what he did, right? He tricked them. He said, oh, if you eat of this fruit, you will not surely die. He added that word not in there. And it's important to understand that when we sin, the wages of it is death. And that's why it's important for us to know what Jesus came back to do is rejoin us back to God. And that's through the cross, through what Jesus has done for us, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul taught them. He taught them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to not forget about the simplicity of this message, that Jesus lived here on earth. He is the Son of God. He came down out of heaven for us. And don't forget that. And he died on the cross because we sinned. And then he went and rose from the dead. That gives us hope in heaven. And we see what Paul was determined to do. His focal message, his focus in his message was this, to preach Jesus Christ. Preach it and go everywhere and talk about the message of Christ. And when we compare this to the earthly wisdom that was there in men, and compare that to the worldly or to the godly wisdom, there is a big difference there. Because the message of Jesus Christ is a message of salvation. Now, I want to take a minute, and maybe we're going down a different way, but I want us to talk about this for a second. We see thousands and thousands of denominations, thousands of them, and it's terrible. We see Paul wrote about there should be no divisions among us. And we see there's differences in many different areas. And we need to see this variation of Christianity because we can know that that there's something amiss. There's something wrong. And I think we have to get back to the simple message to fix the problem. Whenever we look at the differences start by becoming a Christian, becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's, if we miss that, we miss everything. If we miss how to become a Christian, we've missed everything. We missed eternity. Because if we are not right in the sight of God, we lost everything. We lost our eternity with Him. And that's why it's so important while we're here on earth to not lose the simple message of the gospel and how to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to go, and sometimes we spend way too much time in some ways in focusing on other differences that we have. And that difference is worship. We have there. You look at Christianity, there's all forms and ways and how people worship. And there's differences in organization of the church. There's differences in the authority. There's difference in the name. There's differences in the role of the Holy Spirit. And we can go on and on and on about the differences because there is so much division among us. And we can't focus enough attention on what's most important. The most important is that Jesus Christ came to this earth and that He died on the cross for our sins and that He is the only way that we have hope. We can go out and teach about the church and teach about the authority and teach about the Holy Spirit and teach about the importance of the name. But if we do not have Jesus and we're not right with Jesus, it is all for naught. You see, Paul was determined to know nothing else except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that means that He died for each of us. And we talked about that. And what we need to know is this, that we need to get right with God. And the only way we're going to do that is by teaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that is the first and most important thing. You see, it doesn't do me any good if I go out and stand at the streets and say, go to this church, go to this congregation, because, and I don't mention Jesus. If I don't mention Jesus, because this is His church, this is the church that He died for, I need to mention Jesus first and then deal with all those other divisions. And that's what I want to get to us. That's the main focal point of what we need to make sure we're doing, that we teach Jesus first and teach salvation first. We have to get people right with God. And now, whenever we get right with God, we need to make sure that we're staying right with God. And that's where we teach about how to properly worship. And that's how we teach about the proper organization of the church. And that's how we teach about the authority of Christ, the being the head of the church, and the appointing of elders in each of the local congregations, and deacons, and those, and we can get then into some maybe harder subjects of the teaching of the Holy Spirit and the name of the church and those types of things that I brought up earlier. You see, we can't forget to preach Jesus first. Jesus is the one that we need to be right with and follow. Now, Jesus in Matthew chapter, turn your Bibles over, Matthew chapter 28. None of us saying that in order to convert someone, you have to convert them the whole way. I'm not saying that we don't do that. But if we don't teach them how to be right with God, how are they going to then stay right with God? You see, Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Then he goes on to say, if he would just stop there, then we'd just stop at baptism, right? But no, he said, "Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you." Now, whenever we look at this, well, okay, well, Jesus must have taught them how to be right with God. And I want to take a minute, and I know some of you know this, and I know that it's important, but we need to go and understand the message that Jesus taught. In your Bibles, in John chapter 8, we need to understand that we must believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus said this. He said, "I say to you, you'll die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins." We have to believe in Jesus. It starts there. There is a belief in Jesus. You want to know about Jesus Christ and him crucified? You have to believe in him. Here's the message. Here's the person who was on this earth. Believe in him. Believe that he was sent from God. Believe that he came to die on the cross for us. Believe in him. If you don't believe in him, you will die in your sins. And it's important for us to make sure we understand that Jesus taught that. Jesus taught, if you are not going to believe in me, you'll die in your sins. Now, it's important for us to believe and to teach repentance of our sins. Well, he said this, I tell you, in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus said this, "I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So when we look at these things that Jesus taught, he taught about believing in him. He taught about repentance. If you do not repent, meaning change the course of action in the way you were living in sin and change it to live for God, you'll die in your sins. You will perish. You will perish and not have that hope which is in Jesus Christ. Now let's get to the third thing, is confession. He said, you must confess Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse 32 and 33, he said, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." You see, there's a confession that we have to make that I am going to follow Jesus and Jesus is my Savior. I confess that he is the Son of God, Son of the living God. Jesus Christ is that. He is the Son of the living God. And guess what? I need to confess that once, and then I need to confess it the rest of my life and the way I live, that we should live our lives for Jesus Christ. And you see, we have to teach this message, the simple message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that is that believing in him, that is repenting of our sins, confessing that Jesus is the Christ. And then we look at baptism. Jesus taught baptism. He taught the importance of baptism to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verses 3 through 7. And I'm going to just take the time and read this. In John 3, verse 3 through 7, it says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say that you must be born again." You see, Jesus is telling them they have to be baptized. They have to be born again. And now some will say, well, that means this and this means that. No, It's being born in the waters of baptism. We know that you go into the water. You remember the death of Jesus Christ. And just like Jesus died and went into the tomb, we die to ourselves in the waters of baptism. And that's why we go under the water. And we know that Jesus laid in that tomb for 3 days, but we don't do that in with the water. But we come right up out of that water and know that our sins are washed away, that the blood of Jesus washes our sins away. And it's nothing special about the water. It's special because we obeyed what Jesus taught, that we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. And we look at the scripture that we looked at in Matthew 28. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. How do you make a disciple? Well, you have to baptize them. They have to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And they need to learn about what Jesus commanded them. And that gets into what we talked about earlier of those things that need to be taught about the proper organization of the church, the proper way to worship God, the proper way to have authority. What is authority? Where do we look for? Well, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We look at God's word and we can know and see that authority, and we can see the scriptures, and those scriptures are there for our help, that we can see what God has put together, revealed to us by his wisdom that is from above, and he brought down to man. And when we look at this and understand, what we see is we see this message that we can be right with God, and that we can then have to deal with those other things. Sometimes we put the cart before the horse. If we have not become a follower of Jesus Christ, then we're not a Christian. It's as simple as that. If you're not going to follow Jesus Christ, you're not going to become a Christian. And we look at this, and sometimes we need to look at extra scripture. Jesus said this in John 8:31. He said, if you abide in my word, you are disciple. You are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's so important for us to know, that we have to abide in his word. In order to abide in his word, we got to know the truth. And that's Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that truth will free us from that sin that we are in, that sin that separated us from God. We also can look at John 3 and verse 36. It says, he who believes in the Son of God has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. We look at what that scripture teaches, that we must obey Jesus Christ. We must follow his teachings. We must put it in our life and do the things that Jesus taught, and then apply that to our life. If we don't, the wrath of God abides in us if we are not going to follow Jesus. And that's a sad message. It's a sad message that people will choose not to follow Jesus Christ. But Paul's purpose of what he was doing in his life was to go out and preach the gospel and share that with everybody he came in contact with, whether he was in Athens, whether he's in Corinth, or whether he's in Philippi or Ephesus. He was bringing the message of Jesus Christ. And how does this all apply to us? Let's look at this. Let's not worry. Let's look at the division and turn to the wisdom of God. And then let's make sure our message is teaching people about Jesus, is making sure we understand what the gospel means and sharing it with everybody we know. The message is that important. We need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And whenever we look at this, we need to understand that Paul, and I'll just get into the last three verses here, and we'll look at that. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. You see, there, Paul was going through a lot when he was in Corinth. And he said, my speech was, and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. He said, but it was a demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what he was getting to. Here's the message of Jesus Christ, and it's not by my doing. It's not by my message. It's not by earthly wisdom. It's God's wisdom. And God's, the Spirit was demonstrating that through the signs that they were able to perform. Well, through the miracles that Jesus performed while he was here, the resurrection of the dead, then the Holy Spirit came upon those apostles, and they were able to heal people. This is a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. And he said that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Whenever we look at where should we look for our wisdom, it has to be in God. If we look at men for our wisdom, we're going to be led astray. And even the most honest man is going to make mistakes sometimes. But we need to focus on what God's word says, and focus on the message of Jesus Christ and the teachings of Jesus Christ. And when we do so, we will be following what God wants us to do. And we have that at scriptures here, but we need to be like those Bereans, right? We need to be like them that search the scriptures. They search the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. You see, we have this word that we can make sure that we're not lost, that we're not in our sins anymore, that we can then follow those teachings and obey them. I want to ask you tonight, you've heard the gospel preached. Are you going to follow it? Are you going to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ? You must believe. You must repent, confess, be baptized, have those sins washed away, and be in right relationship with God. When you're right with God, that's the most important thing. If we can help you, please let us know. We are here for you. We love you, and we want to be like Paul and bring the message of Jesus to you. And if we can help do that to you, if you have questions or comments, seek us out, the Hillview Terrace Church of Christ. Before we close, let's pray to God, and let's have a prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for this opportunity we have to look upon your word, your wisdom, your guidance for our lives. Help us to never forget that you are the one that has offered this wisdom to us. You revealed it to us in your holy word. Father, we pray that we'll make applications to our life, that we'll follow the simple message of Jesus, and we will be right with you. Father, help us, help those who are considering this, that they make that decision, that they follow you. Father, we pray for wisdom and guidance as we live our lives. Father, we know that this world is not our home. We know that our treasure is not here, but it's with you in heaven. Father, help us to look to you. Father, in these times of division and the times of strife and the times of hatred, Father, help us to be lights to this world, that we could spread your word, that we could teach the message of Jesus, that we could bring more souls to you, and that we could strive to make this world a better place. But we know that it won't happen unless we use your wisdom. Thank you, Father. Please be with us. Please forgive us of our sins. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. Thank you so much. We will join in for our worship at 10:40 on Sunday morning. And we hope to see you there. Thank you.